Resonant Truth presents Natural Time, Mayan Astrology for a Modern Age. I'm Lisa Starr. I was raised in the faith of the Mayan sacred calendars. These ancient cycles have been resurrected for a modern audience and called Natural Time, in part because our year of uneven month lengths is, by comparison, really unnatural. I am not here to lead any kind of revolt against the Gregorian calendar, but I do want to bring the Mayan alternative to light, and I want you to know about Mayan astrology, where the passage of time and your birthday within it has deep mystical and magical significance according to indigenous spirituality. I am passionate, I am transparent, and I am emotionally available, if not volatile. And that's because I'm a blue overtone storm. You can find out what you are at resonanttruth.com. Today on the Zulcan count is called White Spectral Wizard, and it is the 11th day of the Yellow Seed Wave Spell, and it is the spectral moon day 16. I'm a day late. However, I already created the podcast that was on time. It was for Red Planetary Skywalker yesterday, Sunday, the 16th of May. But I was all cracked up on sugar when I made it, and I didn't think I was very holy. I was a little embarrassed. So I waited, and I had a really big Red Planetary Skywalker day, and now everything's falling apart on the spectral day and the spectral moon. So I'm gravitating toward the podcast in order to give myself some peace. So I think you're getting a better deal, even if you had to wait. You're not getting like a manic addict in her element. You're getting someone who's like touching down at bottom, grappling for the strength to carry on stably. So I think that's helpful. The spectral day and the spectral moon is what's destroying my equilibrium, and it's been so outsized, just really obvious to me. I'm manifestations of anxiety, maximal, shaky, physical biology, just super nervous. Cannot quite get a handle on that, except to be like, okay, this is spectral energy doubled. It's the third week in the west of the spectral moon when everything is, I would say, intensified anyhow. And so why would I expect myself to be like fully put together, landed, grounded, at equilibrium when the astrology describes so much upending, upheaval, and the benevolent chaos? So a big part of spectral energy is not being able to follow through with plans, as if plans are planetary. So they are part of the ideal manifestation that happens when we're really focused and we create an output or productive. The spectral day or the spectral tone that follows that is the undoing of our assumption that we can just stay solid and continue as we were, to be slightly automated or automatic in our movements and our accomplishment. It is when the floor falls out from beneath our feet. And again, that can just feel like seasickness, queasy kind of capitulation into mayhem and falling without sensing safety in our landing, but as much in the training here that we offer communally by tracking these cycles together, you can wake up to it being spectral and go, okay, this day is not going to be linear, and it's not going to be about me having like control over an idea and my output. But in that, I could just follow the trajectory of this breaking wave, the launch off the edge of a water mountain into the unknown, and delight in the lack of control that I have. And I work really hard to adhere to these rhythms. You know, worked so hard for so long that they're pretty much, you know, in my biology, I would guess. And nonetheless, to have like this triple header of two spectral tones converging with the intensified third week in the West, I can absolutely say that it took me hours of my day to just be like, okay, I have no control and it feels terrible and everything is falling apart. And you can accept that. I can accept that while also really physically being in a state of discomfort with it. So what's really great about being able to say something aloud and expect that someone out there might be listening and resonating is that it takes off some of the pressure to do anything but celebrate the spectral summit that we're in and just sort of begin to laugh or accept, like, okay, yeah, it's absolutely true that this is a day of deconstruction and dissolution, and we could say liberation from all of our assumptions that we can manhandle life and have the upper hand no matter what the elemental forces are that we enter. So that's great. This is the day. Spectral tone is the action, one of the keystone spaces of experience in the natural time calendar where we are undermining our ego. And I don't even know if when I started 20 years ago, if people were always talking about the ego, banding about this idea that we have a kind of domineering, demanding part of our brain function that supervises a lot of the more sensitive parts of self and wants kind of like real mechanical feats of perfection from us. So the spectral tone is an entryway, whether or not you understand or are interested in like the struggle between ego and other aspects of ourselves. But regardless, it's a training ground for being in the Mayan teachings of humility, acceptance, and liberation. So engaging with this day and this moon that we're in, and kind of switching your allegiance from resistance to chaos to embracing it with eyes open. You know, it doesn't mean creating chaos is great. It doesn't mean entering chaos like with your eyes shut is great and just getting completely tortured by the different forces that are moving you know, in such dramatic ways that we can get blustered about. But if you enter the vortex of instability or destabilization with your senses awake and interested, engaged, then it can be kind of like being tripped out. I am not someone who's really exposed to hallucinogens, just here and there over many, many years, you know, like wide spaces between usage. But I definitely argue that being engaged with this calendar in a really committed way so that you know what every day is and you're interested in what arrives through the lens of the Mayan teachings, that you can pretty easily access times when you're living in a hallucinogenic space without any, chemicals entering your body, biochemicals not necessary to get to that transcendent space of being baffled and awakened and enthralled. So that's, I'm really selling myself on that, on this spectral day. White Spectral Wizard, especially. I mean, I love White Wizard. I love White Wizard days. I love White Wizard as an emblem from the Maya. I love being reverent to shamanism, to alternative healers, to ancient sorcerers, medicine women, expecting that some of us carry that, like, power, even though there's not really a modern indigenous space. I mean, people would argue that there is, but I'm just suggesting that people that look like they're not shamans, they're not, you know, wearing indigenous clothes now, they're not aspiring to recreate in indigenous times, but are incredible healers and insightful, and again could just be casual in that, not having a career, that shamanism is something for us to really look for, search for in ourselves and around us through this white wizard portrayal of a day that celebrates any of us that can create a shelter for other people where the eye of God is present. So what it really looks like, I guess, is just spending enough time in your own connection to your sense of divinity that you have a channel kind of following your crown chakra wherever you go, a little beam that comes from elsewhere and has entered your body and your spirit, so that when you settle down for a minute and are available to be in the presence of someone else, whether or not it's a healing sanctuary, it could just be sitting together on a park bench, but because you have dialed in to something divine, a person is touched by that in your presence. So that's White Wizard. And it is also true that it is the antipode of Yellow Seed, the wave spell that we've been in. So the spectral days are always, they ask a lot of us in terms of undoing, but they also show us balance, because the antipode is a balancing power to the wave spell. And they further, they kind of liberate White Wizard. White Wizard's been held in abeyance at an opposite pole throughout this Yellow Seed's summit of 10 days. And now White Wizard gets to be set free. So the spectral day is particularly liberating the tribe of the spectral day. So White Wizard and all that I've just spoken about is what's particularly liberated today as we move along in the Yellow Seed time. And then when we're in Red Earth and we get to the spectral day, it'll be Blue Spectral Hand. So Blue Hand will be held in abeyance, you know, recessive throughout the 10 days of the Red Earth wave spell's origin. But when we get to the 11th day and it's spectral, Blue Hand will be what is liberated. Healing and knowledge will be what we can distinguish particularly is set free on that day. And if we look backwards to the last wave spell, which was Blue Monkey, it was Red Spectral Dragon, the 11th day of that time, where like a maternal nurturance would have been perhaps absent for the first 10 days of the wave spell, and then particularly set free, liberated, and able to responsively, you know, fill in the gaps and fill in the opposition of Blue Monkey. And I think each of these tribe pairings, antipode and, you know, the day of the origin of the wave spell and then its antipodal opposite on the spectral day, like you could look at the structures of these relationships and see that they always make sense in some way. And I think I'll be too much in my head if I try to do that right here. It's the sort of thing I should write about, and I've been thinking about writing another sort of further exemplar of all this in another book, and maybe I'll get to that in the electric year, yellow electric seed year that's coming up. So other things that are of interest to me are really identifying here as the year begins to draw to a close. We have half of the spectral moon plus the crystal moon and the cosmic moon. So if you want to do it like mathematically, we have 10 weeks, which is 70 days until the year ends. And it definitely is a summation portion of our annual 13 moon cycle. Like as we exit the spectral moon, things really do wind down and conclude in terms of their action and their the particular traits of the year: blue lunar storm, the lunar polarity, the blue storm transformation, the force of nature that comes with a storm experience. These things will be losing some of their intensity as we come to the culminating moons. So I think I wanted to just do a refresher or a reminder. I don't want to get back deep into it as if we're starting over with the concepts, but just don't ever forget that we're in a blue lunar storm year when you're trying to understand how there could be so much strife. I'm not really of the viewpoint that we're going to have less strife in any of the years that remain in the human experience on Earth. I'm pretty cynical, but that could be coming out of this blue lunar storm year that I'm so deeply seated in the teaching of blue lunar storm that I can't see anything but the challenge of upheaval that comes from outside ourselves that we can't deny, because that's really what blue storm to me demonstrates, is something that a human can't control, a human can't mitigate, a human has to accept on the storm's terms and endure. And, you know, you can shelter to a degree and you can use your recollection of other strong weather systems to kind of keep your hope up and educate yourself on best ways to survive, sort of natural disaster part of strong, strong elemental change. But overall, it's when a human's will is diminished. So it might be perfect and appropriate that I'm like just absolutely looking at life through the lens of, yeah, I mean, it's super challenging to be in that much God-driven upheaval. It's hard on the human being, the human body, the human spirit, and I feel that. But separate from my cynicism, I've just described what I want to remind us all of about this year, which is that we've had intense polarity. It's in every headline, right? Polarization. It defines the United States. There's a lot of segregating that's imitating the United States in other parts of the world. There's kind of the price tag on people stretching and playing with their arrogance and overblown egos. Really aware of what's happening in Israel and Palestine. That's just, you know, a non-American version of high-pitched, conflicted polarity. You know, really a strong face-off and very extreme. And that ends up being one of the tenets of this year that we witnessed. Like foment, meaning an explosive level of confrontation that pits two energy fields against each other. So what we can know, I guess, is that that's perfectly timed in a 13-year wave spell that we entered last year, White Magnetic Wizard, July 26, 2019, and that this wave spell of 13 years will slowly allow us to resolve the problematic awakenings of this lunar year. The tensions and challenges that we experience will be resolved in 8 or 9 years when we come to the planetary and spectral years of this 13-year wave spell. It might seem like a long time to wait. I'm all about it feeling overwhelming, which is another part of what happens at the beginning of wave spells. And when it's the beginning of 13-year wave spells, that's a long endurance test for us. Like the lunar tone for 13 moons is a long experience of challenge and polarity, but we are coming to the end of it. And again, it doesn't ever mean that we're just like it's over, like flipping off a light switch. There is a influence that comes in the electric tone, the third tone, that starts to offset some of the polarity and bridge it. And so over a whole year to come, we'll start to feel some of this tension of facing off with one another and our ideologies start to be softened by the presence of a divine influence. But we are moving really slow in our 13-year wave spell compared to our 13-day wave spells. And maybe it's just present in me to talk about all this because today is a White Wizard Day, which, you know, reminds me now and then we're in a White Wizard wave spell of 13 years, white magnetic wizard began it. It'll end on a white cosmic wizard, you know, 13 years forward from our beginning point. There'll be two other white wizard years in between. Of course, we move through our red, white, blue, yellow four-year cycle of red moon, white wizard, blue storm, and yellow seed. So that's why we have a yellow seed year coming up. But it's all couched in this white wizard enchantment and shamanism that I just described. And I don't want to lose sight of that either, especially because my white magnetic wizard year had so much about it that was powerfully enchanting. And that's where my love affair with white wizard really got solidified, because I just love feeling like I'm living in a fairy tale. And that doesn't mean like a happy ending, because a fairy tale is 99% conflict and setbacks and, you know, the challenge of being on the open road as an adventurer with all these evil forces in your way. And then at the very end, everything's fine again. So when we are in white wizard enchantment, and I say it's like a fairy tale, what I like about it is just that there is a continuum of magic, whether it's black magic or white magic, and that differentiates kind of the rational, real world from a more elevated place that fairy tales are formed from, where there is mysticism and there is mythology and there are wild characters of the forest and there are helper angels and there are adversaries. And I like how that is structured. I'm taking a pause to talk to my dog. When I recorded my podcast on Saturday night, I was really speaking quite a bit about the portals still, and just know that White Spectral Wizard and then Blue Crystal Eagle are the final portal days of the 10 portals in the Yellow Seed Wave spell. And so if you listen today or you caught it on Tuesday, you're in the portals, and then there are no more. And they really are infrequent once we move out of the center of the Zolk'in. There are solitary portals, and then there are a couple of pairings of portals, and there's even a section where you can feel like there's sort of four portals in a shorter amount of time. But there's nothing really close to what it feels like when we first hit the Red Serpent portals after not having dense portal activity for, you know, 220 days. And then the Yellow Seed mirror of 10 portals, I think, is a little less shocking or reverberating, but nonetheless, it has its teaching. And I've talked about that in earlier podcasts. And I just wanted to return to, you know, stories about how portal days unfold really solidly. My most basic presentation on this is what I have said over and over again. It's the moment where the wall becomes a door. And that, yes, a portal day in of itself is just a higher energy day, deeper intensity. The whole day from waking till sleep, and including some of our dream time, is in a portal. It's a doorway day. So you can have this sort of higher frequency of animation the whole day. You can feel it stand out. It was a day when so much happened. But when we have 10 in a row, I think it's just a really great anchoring exercise to be like, okay, I was shown a doorway where there was a wall, and catch it when it happens. Catch it and kind of honor it and marvel at it. And, you know, I probably have lost track of some of the ones that I've been through since I last talked, but I want to reiterate, you know, having mentioned that when my father told me he had cancer last week, that it wasn't that he had cancer that was the doorway, but that he had developed a way of opening himself to his own mortality. That was the doorway, because it was a doorway he had created in his own life over some years, and that I was informed of, you know, in a short conversation where my ideas that my father might be resisting his own mortality or afraid to greet the end times, that there are a lot of boomers out there that seem to be, you know, hanging on because lives just get extended by modern medicine. And are they hanging on because they're afraid of that departure from, you know, the sentient universe? Or are they just unconscious of the meaning of transitioning, which I don't have a handle on either, but I just felt so liberated by my father's calm about his eventual demise. And that was truly like the standout doorway of my portals to date. And then, you know, I think I may have a note somewhere in the back of my mind where I could demonstrate just more mundane portals, which I have, you know, on the earlier broadcast pointed out that it can be really small and mundane, like paying a bill today in the spectral day that I just have avoided so long because it's a bill I don't want to pay. And then there's so much resistance, and then finally the resistance dissolves in the spectral energy, or there's a kind of just fearlessness that emerges in the surrender to this day. And then by paying it, I'm out from under the fear of paying it. And that's not very exciting to talk about, but it really does feel like a doorway. So I encourage that. We kind of miss the boat of me holding an online seminar where I could really do what I love, which is give homework assignments and discuss how they went. Maybe that will eventually happen in some form, but to just trust me that if you can lock into like the, oh, whoa, that was the portal right there, then I think it's straight to the ascended Maya. Like they are the ones offering us these keys to enlightenment and these small gifts of extra sensory awareness. So this is the end statement on the portal days that we've been able to amass. And then concluding this yellow seed time, that's like where I think I feel the most lost still and always in trying to explain what yellow seed ends up meaning to me. It's a great time to work with things that are small and abundant. For me, you know, the example could be like a bunch of screws. They all look the same. They get set into all my different configurations of shelving in my closets that I'm having to build out myself. And they're not seeds that are going to make fruit, but they look like seeds because they're all the same and there's so many of them in my hand. And interacting with things that present like that, batches of small, growthful, helpful, solution-oriented items. And it doesn't just have to be a thing that you could hold in your hand. I mean, seed could be people. I was back exposing myself to more deadheads this past weekend. And absolutely, you know, the flower children truism of what it's like to be a hippie and be around hippies and their, you know, tie-dye brights. It is so floral and so plant-like, and people running around with their marijuana plant purchases that were for sale outside the venue and just feeling like, wow, talk about what a long, strange trip it's been. It's been a real success story since 52 years ago when we were in 1968 and members of the dead were, you know, expected to serve time for having, you know, pot on sight. It really is a miracle of a kind that we have legalized marijuana, and so that so many who love that stimulant can, you know, not be incarcerated for it. That's not my story, but when I'm around people that love pot in the yellow seed wave, so I'm like, yeah, that's perfect. That's perfect for this time. Flowering, awakening, sensitivity, opening our senses so that they really respond to light, heat, simplicity. You know, maybe that's the hallucinogenic state, is just responding to simple instructions from some far out place in space. So we're not tangled up in our mind and thoughts and lists and agendas, but rather just beholding what is etherically right in our space. And That sounds like a version of being a flower or a fruit. And that's about all I could figure out about the yellow seed time. It's just not a super cognitive space. And yet, very blessed, very spring into summery. So thanks for waiting. I am Lisa Starr. I am another yourself. And in Mayan, we say, in la cache.